Welcome to the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast with your host, Audrey McLaughlin.
Hey friends, welcome to episode 46 of the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast. Today we're talking about DSLD, the dreaded dropped fetlocks. It's a disease process where the fetlocks seem to be sinking towards the ground. It almost makes the, or does make the pasterns become horizontal or parallel to the ground at its most exaggerated state. We're going to talk on the conventional versus holistic ways to address DSLD. We're going to talk about some of the questions from my followers and community on TikTok, and I'm going to share a case study in which we did a minerals metals main test on a DSLD case and achieved 75% improvement in just the first week. And I'll talk to you about kind of the trends that I see on minerals metals and main tests for DSLD horses. Before we get started, I have to thank our sponsors for the show today. First up is Vism Pads. I have been using and loving these things and doing my own case studies with these Vism Pads, both in the human and equine world. Interestingly, from a human perspective, and I'll talk more about this on the Root Cause Revolution podcast, I have been using the Vism Pads on their grounding setting at night for stress, and tracking that with both an Oura Ring and a Whoop band. And my recovery is consistently in the green, in the upper 90s when I do that practice. This week, I haven't done that practice, and I'm back down in the yellow recovery. And both devices indicate that is based on stress. And this is not a pity party for me. It's just life. I endure the average amount of stress and use tools, you know, like meditation and grounding and all of those things. But these pads are amazing. So the difference between these pads and other things on the market is, number one, they are wireless. Number two, they offer three colors that you can add to infrared or mix and match. So you have blue, which you can think of like ice light, red, which is warming and increasing circulation, and green, which is a really grounding and calming wavelength. You can also add infrared to any of those. They also have, and I butcher this word every time I say it, but the Nogera frequencies, which are pre-programmed frequencies that add an extra layer of healing to these lights. The pole pad is one of my favorites, as well as the pads that go around the hoof. The pole pad supports the TMJ, the Atlas, C2, C3, and all of the acupoints across the brow. It's just an amazing tool to have. And like I said, my favorite part is they're cordless, right? Cords and horses, bad combo. So definitely check these out. You'll find them linked in the show notes. Our second sponsor is Paddock Blade. I love Paddock Blade. Paddock Blade has been making paddock cleaning easy and fast since 2016. It is the quickest and easiest way to keep your pasture poo-free and your horses happy, healthy, and keep those fecal egg counts down and worm flies at bay. Paddock Blade ensures its quality by doing this really cool thing. It manufactures locally across the world. So I'm in Texas. If I order in Texas, my Paddock Blade is made right here in Texas. They also back their word with a lifetime warranty. On average, Paddock Blade saves you about 3 to 5 hours a week. That is 6 to 10 days a year to do more of the things you love to do. It works in small paddocks and big pastures as well. So search Paddock Blade. You can use code EQM100 to get $100 off and free shipping. That deal is for a limited time only. So definitely check out Paddock Blade, also linked in the show notes. All right, let's jump into our DSLD content. So originally, DSLD was thought to be because of overwork or old age. And through research and all the things, they now believe that DSLD is a disease of connective tissue and that it actually impacts the horse's entire body, not just the suspensory ligaments. And I tend to agree with that information. The same abnormalities that you can see at a microscopic level in the suspensories has also been documented in places like the nuchal ligament, which is directly behind the main, the patellar ligaments, the deep digital and superficial digital flexor tendons, and also blood vessels, which is interesting. It even impacts the white part of the eye known as the sclera. Another theory about DSLD is that the problem isn't with the collagen fibers themselves, but with but kind of the glue that holds these connective tissues together. These the substance between collagen fibers is known as proteoglycans. It is a protein carbohydrate complex, and it's a component of normal connective tissue. But in DSLD horses, excessive amounts of proteoglycans accumulate within the tissues, and they can be damaging to the local tissue itself, especially things like suspensory ligaments. I don't want to bore you too much with proteoglycans and all of the scientific information about where they come from and what they are and all the things, but you have to know that proteoglycans are a subclass of something called glycoproteins. And glycoproteins are carbohydrate units that contain carbohydrate or glycan that are linked, covalently bonded specifically, but linked to protein. So a proteoglycan is a subclass of those glycoproteins. And in proteoglycans, carbohydrate units are sugars, essentially. They're polysaccharides that contain amino sugars. So proteoglycans are protein and sugar molecules bonded together. So in DSLD, the horse is known to have excessive proteoglycan accumulation, which creates malformed tissues, and it can be really damaging to local tissues. Now, both of these things, both the proteoglycans are, we know that that happens, but they're still trying to determine the cause from a scientific standpoint. In case you're not getting the idea yet, I am fully on board with the excess proteoglycan theory accumulating in tissues, and here's why. So even though conventional veterinary medicine, for the most part, I train some vets on using the minerals, metals, and main test. I have a lot of vets that use me for the minerals and metals and main test. But by and large, you'll find that a lot of vets find that measuring excess or deficient things in tissues outside of blood, they find that to be, you know, not good quality science, right? They find it to be pseudoscience, if you will. But what we know from that is that when a horse is overfed or underfed certain nutrients, we know that we see an increase or decrease in those things in their tissues. Now, this is a little bit, but hear me out. So when we're thinking in terms of proteoglycans and proteins plus sugar molecules and having an excess of that and it getting pushed from the horse's other systems into the tissues, and then those proteoglycans also being implicated in not being able to glue, if you will, those collagen tendon fibers together, then it makes a lot of sense that the overfeeding, overconsumption of proteins and sugars for horses can lead to, not directly saying that overfeeding protein and sugar causes DSLD. There has to be a genetic component to that as well, but certainly saying that the overfeeding of that switches on or off a particular gene pattern that then shuttles the excess proteoglycans into the tissue as a last resort. From a holistic root cause standpoint, I definitely lean towards a proteoglycan issue, and it seems to be the case that you can help. I'm not saying you can heal it, but you can help it nutritively. And we'll talk about that as well. One of the questions I get asked about a lot is that number one, is DSLD related to old age? Or number two, is it related to hereditary conditions? And it can occur at any age. And it probably, it does seem to run in certain bloodlines. It probably has a hereditary component to it. But here's what we know. We know that we know through the science of something called epigenetics that environment, stress, nutrition, all exposure to toxins, all of these things control the expression of genes. So knowing that, you should know that just because a horse comes from a bloodline that has DSLD does not mean that they are doomed to that fate. Conventional recommendations for DSLD include things like MSM, include things like NSAIDs, include things like, other things that help with pain and inflammation that these horses go through. Now, I'm not against managing pain. I think chronic pain has to be managed with something other than NSAIDs. And I'm not against using something like MSM. They are also testing some other things, if you will, to see what they can do to help reverse or reduce this process. I will say that when they test stuff like MSM, like chondroitin, like HLA, typically those tests are done on horses in labs or in lab control type situations, and those horses' nutrition is garbage, subpar at best, but absolute garbage. They're feeding Purina Senior Feed, or they're feeding some sort of Purina product that is contributing to inflammation while doing research to try to reduce inflammation. It's no wonder that, people will say, well, studies show that MSM doesn't work. Well, because of the way the studies are conducted, they're not giving MSM a proper chance to do its job. You absolutely cannot out supplement a bad diet, period. So one of the questions that was asked, and I kind of skipped right over that information or touched on a little bit, is what can be done preventatively for foal that is predisposed to DSLD because of genetics or conformation? I would say that one, DSLD is not related to conformation. A horse could be predisposed because of genetics, but again, making sure that you are managing that horse's nutrition appropriately. And we'll talk about some of the levels that I see that are out of whack for DSLD horses and how that can happen, will prevent certain genes from expressing themselves. Now, there could be genes that are expressed based on the mother's nutrition as well. So managing that to the best of your ability. So that leads us right into minerals, metals, and main tests, and what we see on minerals and metals and main tests for horses that are struggling with DSLD. A couple different things. Normally, the biggest thing that I look for on a test for a horse that has DSLD or has been officially diagnosed or has symptoms of DSLD are two things. Number one, protein catabolism, right? And so there is a metabolic pattern that is indicative of or points to increased catabolism. And what protein catabolism is the process of breaking down complex compounds such as tissues during protein metabolism. So thinking back to what I said at the beginning of the episode about the proteoglycans being part of this DSLD process, if a horse is in protein catabolism, excessive and chronic, it decreases the horse's ability to maintain body tissues. A lot of times it starts with muscle, but it can start anywhere depending on where that horse's weak link in their genetic structure, their genetic code is. So catabolism is the process of breaking down complex body tissue during protein metabolism. And so the way I like to explain it to my clients when we're looking at a horse like this is that the horse's body essentially, and this is a gross oversimplification, right? But for the sake of explaining it, the horse's body is breaking down muscle tissue, is breaking down tendon tissue to access the protein it needs because it's not either getting, number one, enough protein in their diet. Number two, not enough sodium in their diet. Number three, it's a poor quality of protein. I'm looking at things like grain and soy and all that. Number four, it is unable to digest those proteins appropriately. And that goes back to sodium, grain quality, and then, of course, a healthy digestive system, including gut flora or bacteria in the gut. Oftentimes, we'll see a low phosphorus level, low cobalt, low sulfur, and a significantly low sodium as well. Now, the kind of the kicker, the boot in this for horses with DSLD tends to be this gnarly little thing called molybdenum. Molybdenum is an essential nutrient. It's present in soil. It's transferred into the horse's diet through contact or ingestion of plants grown in soil that has molybdenum in it. Now, too much molybdenum is a problem for horses. And so molybdenum is found in high amounts in things like beans. So we're looking at soy, things like grains, even things like lentils, which are in the some of the, Crypto Arrow wild forage, for example, which is often touted as a healthy feed and can be an okay, I don't like the rice bran in it either, but can be an okay supplement for a horse if a full forage diet is not an issue. But when molybdenum is too high, when a horse has a high level of molybdenum, when it's above the reference range, it does a couple of things. Number one, it has a negative impact on calcium transport into the bone. And number two, and I want you to listen to this part, it reduces the normal elasticity of connective tissues. Okay? Too much molybdenum reduces the normal elasticity of connective tissues, right? It is an antagonist to copper metabolism, to sulfur amino acids, particularly methionine and cysteine. It reduces the glucose 6-phosphate and xanthine oxidase activity. All of these things happen with molybdenum excess. Now, interestingly enough, most of the molybdenum research is done in cattle, and horses tend to be more tolerant of excess molybdenum than cattle are. But I can tell you that every single horse that I have tested, and there have been many, every single one of them that I have tested have been above range in molybdenum and usually also below range in the things that I was talking about, phosphorus and sodium. From a case study perspective, or from a treatment perspective, we immediately change their diet, immediately get rid of all the grains, all the soy, all the beans, all of the processed, nasty, extra sugars, all of the rancid oils, all of the chemically induced seed oils, all of the things, right? So we're overall reducing inflammation in the body, which definitely plays a component in that. And then that also reduces the molybdenum. We're increasing sodium. We're making sure the horse can process protein and other things. Like we're making sure that the horse's digestive system is able to absorb, right? It takes a lot of healing after a horse has been on a negative diet like that. It takes a lot of healing to improve the horse, to improve that gut lining. Recently, I did a case study where we did a minerals, metals, and main test on a DSLD horse that was diagnosed in April of 2023. Sometimes I hear back from owners and, we work through extra problems when we do tests, especially when we're looking at big diagnoses like this. And sometimes I don't. Sometimes, you know, the horse is better or they, you know, send the horse on down the road, whatever the decision is. But sometimes if a horse, especially when a horse gets better, I might not hear back until I reach out and say, hey, I was just checking on you, and then hear back from them. Oftentimes I'll get a quick note like, hey, no follow-up needed, you know, that sort of thing. But this horse, we did a different plan on. This horse was already getting a good diet, was already on what would have been the appropriate supplementation to some degree, and had been diagnosed by their vet with, you know, really a pretty severe case of DSLD. And so instead of treating it like a horse, I treated it like I would a human with a similar test result. And I heard back from the owners recently, and 1 week into starting the new treatment protocol, they saw 75% improvement in their horse just 1 week in. Right. And so we're treating this horse with human supplements, with full disclosure, like we weren't sure that this was going to improve this horse enough to make a difference. But so far we're on the right track. And so I'm excited to continue to look at that that case and see how it goes. But I'm really excited about the results thus far. So a few more questions that were I've answered a lot of them. So a few more questions to get to. One question, is it a lifetime struggle to keep them sound even after treatment? And I wouldn't say a lifetime struggle. I would say you get improvement, and you may have to be okay with not ever riding the horse again. I have people that the horse returns to work, no problem. And they, you know, return to work for a good long period of time. And some of them have to retire early. A lot of it depends on the type of work they're in. And what their, how long they have been struggling with DSLD before, any intervention was made, and also what kind of intervention. So, you know, a lot of times the conventional interventions are, they're band-aids. They're not a lot of times, they're always band-aids. And so when we are band-aiding something, you know, you can think about if you had a leaky water pipe and you put a piece of duct tape over the leaky water pipe, and it might stop that leak for a second or two, then you're going to spring little bitty new leaks if the original problem wasn't addressed, right? So that's something to consider. Another question is, hyaluronic acid helpful or hurtful? For the most part, it's helpful. MSM, chondroitin, all helpful for something like DSLD. The Chinese herbs, I'm not going to butcher this, geoglin and AKKG can be also helpful. Pain meds best for long-term. If they're in a lot of pain long-term, I would use something like OptiWise over using something like Equiox. We're just going to add more problems. You can go back and listen to the Equiox podcast for that. If they need more support, then using something like White Willow or Devil's Claw can be really helpful as well. Using things like in your treatment protocol, like red light therapy with infrared is also really beneficial for those asking about some suggestions for long-term care. This episode's been a little bit all over the place, so let me try to circle back and rein it all in. The first thing that you're going to do if your horse is having signs of DSLD, which sometimes they're calling ESPA, then, you know, having your vet diagnose it is absolutely important. Yes, find out what it is. But like I tell my human clients, having a label for it doesn't necessarily change what we're going to do. If your horse is not on an anti-inflammatory diet, that is critical to address first, and then also addressing their mineral status. You could assume that their minerals are out of balance. I would assume that their minerals are out of balance if they're on a conventional concentrated feed diet, or if they're on just hay without any minerals to balance it. And so you could start by just giving them a good quality mineral that does not have any oils, not mineral oil, not rice bran oil, not canola meal, canola oil, any of that stuff. So giving them a good quality mineral, giving them a anti-inflammatory forage diet, and start there. If you're having a more severe case of drop fetlocks, and the horse is in pain, then you might also consider doing a minerals, metals, and main test. I would also consider looking into adding MSM, chondroitin, HLA to their diet as well. And then lastly, managing their comfort, right? Managing their comfort is going to be critical. So using tools like red light therapy, using tools like in-hand walks, helping them to balance their muscles with those, things like balance pads and different modalities will certainly help to strengthen and improve balance overall. So hopefully this gives you some insight into DSLD. It's not a topic I talk about much. It just kind of came up when, somebody had reported back to me how a case study of a different type of case had responded so very quickly to the changes that we made. And like I said, it was a little bit out of the box type protocol that we went on. So hopefully you found this useful, and I'll see you next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Equine Energy Medicine Podcast. Ratings and reviews are always appreciated. We'll catch you in the next episode.